This is Stephanie Rubel from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome you to our fifth book of the 2012-2013 Book Salon season, Black Rain. This month, I'm delighted to introduce our March host, Professor Stephen Carter, award-winning translator and author of 11 books and numerous articles on pre-modern Japanese literature. Stephen's interest in Hiroshima first blossomed when he visited the Hiroshima Peace Memorial Park and Museum in 1969 during the Cold War. He soon received his undergraduate degree in Japanese with minors in English and history, only to receive his master's and PhD a few years later with a concentration in classical and medieval Japanese poetry. Stephen is currently teaching at Stanford for the Department of East Asian Languages and Cultures. Stephen, thanks so much for kicking off this month's discussion.
Not at all. I'm happy to be here.
So can you please tell our readers why you chose this book?
Well, the bombing of Hiroshima is one of the most significant events in human history. There are a number of books that have actually been written about the bomb in Japanese and a number of things in English as well. But I think that Ibuse's account is the most interesting in a lot of ways because it focuses not on the bomb itself, not on the destruction, but on the human beings who were victims of the bomb and how some of them survived. So in that sense, it sounds ironic, but in a way it's a positive book. It's about survival and not simply about destruction. As we look at the narrative, one of the things you notice right away is that he doesn't give you a bird's eye view of anything. He essentially always looks from the ground and from the point of view of those who were on the ground at the time that the bomb fell. And he essentially weaves together a number of stories from different people who went through the experience. And he introduces into the narrative a sort of meta-narrative by a man who is looking at this all from the perspective about 2 years after the bomb. So you get a very interesting interweaving of various stories by various people, all concentrating really on that period right after the bomb fell as they tried to adjust to the new world. Essentially, we see an explosion, first of all, a physical explosion that obliterates most of the city. Then there's an explosion of all of the human institutions that usually give us control over our lives. You'll notice that almost nothing functions after the bomb falls. The trains don't function anymore. The government offices aren't functioning anymore. The business that Shizuma tries to go to isn't functioning anymore. So all of those things that we usually rely on for a sense of stability and order in the world are gone. It's also an explosion of families. Families are obviously separated by this. There are sometimes a mother and father are away from the home. Sometimes the children are at school. In any case, it means that families have also been affected in this way. So there's a social explosion. Then I think the ultimate thing that Ibuse is also thinking about is the moral explosion that takes place as the bomb falls. This is so unlike any other experience that anyone has ever been through that people seem to sort of lose their moorings. Even the things that they usually depend upon for survival become problematic for them. For instance, water and things of this sort. So we have then this depiction of an explosion in the physical world, in the institutional world, in the world of families and so forth, all depicted through various narrators who in the end give you a sort of confusing account. One thing I often hear from readers is they are confused by the narrative. I think it's important to understand that Ibuse wants you to be confused because that's what it was like to be on the ground at the time the bomb fell. At the very end of the book, things start to come together and you sort of develop a perspective on it. But as you go through, you're simply presented with lots of little narratives about the bomb. Well, anyways, I say there are other books about the bomb, but I think this is the one that in human terms seems to communicate the best to me. So I thought it'd be a good choice for this.
What an amazing event to have to live through. Can you tell our readers what issues from Black Rain you can single out for them that they might find interesting to discuss?
Sure. I have five questions, actually, that I think are useful to sort of have at your side as you read through the book. And it's interesting to look for answers because I think these are really big questions for Ibuse and for us as readers. The first one is simply, how do people survive? Obviously, this is something that is unprecedented in their lives. At this time in Japan, some of the cities of Japan had been firebombed before this, and there were huge casualty figures associated with those firebombings and so forth. But nothing like the atomic bomb, which obliterated so much in one instant. And they had absolutely no warning. So when the bomb fell, they were standing on platforms at train stations. They were outside their houses. They were inside their houses. There were people in all sorts of situations. And they all have to now essentially find a way to survive the first few hours and then finally the first few days and weeks of the bomb. So I think that's one question to ask is, what is it that helps people survive? The second question is, immediately after the bomb, what is it that people immediately seek out? What is it that they look to first? Because essentially what this unveils is human priorities in all sorts of ways. And I think it's really interesting to look at what people immediately do right after the bomb to try to respond to what's happened. Another thing that's interesting is readers often ask me, why are there so many fish in the book? You know, there's a lot about fish in this book. There's also a lot about the natural world. One of the reasons, obviously, is that the bomb also impacts the natural world. But I think it's interesting to ask the question as you go through, as you're reading, why is there so much attention to things like farming, fish, and so forth? You wouldn't think that that would be something that would be very important right after the explosion of a nuclear bomb. Okay, fourth question is, how does storytelling figure in all of this? Why is it that Ibuse chose to use so many different narratives instead of trying to create one solid narrative that moves forward? Why is it that he chose this? Well, if you look, one of the things you'll discover is that storytelling becomes one of the sort of obsessions of the people right after the bomb. They need to make sense of it, and storytelling is the way they do it. Ibuse waited 20 years to write this book. He actually came from Hiroshima. He wasn't there when the bomb fell. He was a soldier, I think, in Southeast Asia at the time. But he had many, many friends and family members in the area, so he knew something about it firsthand from them. But it's interesting that he didn't try to deal with it for 20 years. He would have been an obvious person to write this story. He was a very prominent author at the time. But he waited 20 years, and he builds that into a narrative, in a way. The narrator at the beginning is looking back on it after a few years of time. Well, I think it's interesting to ask ourselves, what does storytelling mean in the context of this kind of event? Okay, and the final thing is that I think it's important to ask ourselves as we're reading through the book, what is it that's so different about this bomb from all the other bombs? The people of Japan by this time had been undergoing a bombing campaign by the Allies for essentially more than a year, a very intensive campaign to bomb cities. So they knew all about bombs, and they were prepared to deal with certain kinds of bombs. But obviously, this bomb is different. It's different in a variety of ways. And as you ask that question, I think the thing to do is think about the story of Yasuko. Yasuko comes at the very, very beginning of the narrative. Shizuma's niece. And essentially, if you were to try to isolate one narrative from all of the others that are told in the story, the one that holds true for the whole story is the narrative of Yasuko, who is a young woman and hoping for marriage, hoping for a family. But because of what's happened, there is a dark cloud over her. She's one of the people who experienced what people called at the time black rain. Now, I should note that some scientists argue that this was a figment of the imagination, that it never happened. The people who were actually there on the ground are adamant about this, that black rain really did fall. She was caught in a black rainstorm, which meant that when one of our first introductions to her after the bomb, we learned that she has splotches of black all over her body from the black rain. And what that means for her is that she survives the bomb, as many people do, but the impact of the bomb goes forward into the future for her because eventually she gets radiation sickness. It becomes problematic for the family because as Shizuma, her uncle, is trying to arrange marriages for her, this issue always comes up. No one wants to marry damaged goods, and therefore Yasuko, even though she survived the bomb and wasn't anywhere really near it when it happened, she becomes then the sort of vessel by which problems of this bomb carry forward into the future. I think it's interesting all the way through to ask ourselves, what is it about the hydrogen bomb that's different from other bombs? How does it make a difference in the way people respond to it and so forth?
Great. I think those are wonderful questions to for readers to keep in mind while we're moving through this book. For our last question, will you share a passage or two you consider representative of the book and tell us why you chose it?
Okay, I'm going to read first a passage. If you have the book, it's on page 154 in my text, and I think all the editions are the same. It's hard to pick a passage from this book. There are so many, I think, really moving passages. This one I chose because it articulates one of the central political themes of the book. This is not, in a lot of ways, an overtly political statement. You'll notice, for instance, that Ibusen never gives us statistics. He doesn't talk about how many people died or tonnage or any of these kinds of things. But he is sensitive to political issues, and I think you see that in a couple of passages I'll look at now. This is again from page 154. On the morning of the 6th, another of the women said, a squad of cadet officers had been drilling on the West Parade Ground under the officer in charge. They had just finished and were taking off their tunics for physical training when the great flash came. One of them, at the very rear of the ranks, had been standing with his back against a leafy tree and claimed to have seen the keep of Hiroshima Castle at the very instant it was blown away, the whole keep its shape intact, flying off through the air to the southeast. The next moment, he could no longer see anything. Yet he swore that he had seen the five-story keep of the castle, just as it had always been, up there in the sky 40 or 50 yards away from its original position. Even if the story was true, he could hardly have consciously looked at it. The sight, rather, must have imprinted itself on his retina at the instant of the explosion. People who were there later reported that the keep lay smashed to smithereens on the river embankment, reduced to a heap of clay and broken tiles. It seemed that the blast of a bomb has the ability both to push and to lift. The keep of the castle must have weighed some thousands of tons, yet the force moving it was greater than gravity, and it was lifted into the air without being smashed. Well, this picture of the keep of the castle, I think, is there to remind us of what happened to all of the government institutions at the time of the bomb. All of them essentially fell apart. People had to look to other kinds of sources of support. It's important to understand that at this time, the Japanese people were beginning to be very doubtful about their own institutions. There were lots of people who, although they couldn't say it out loud, were opposed to the militarists. And I think here you see an example of Ibusen using a symbol, the keep of the castle, which represents the government in all sorts of ways, being essentially blown to smithereens by the bomb. Now I'll go to the very end of this same chapter on page 162. This is one of the few passages in the book where we actually see soldiers at work. There are soldiers at work in Hiroshima doing all kinds of tasks. And of course there are people who are making things for the war effort and so forth. Well, these are men who are trying to deal with the dead bodies. Okay. When a body was dumped too close to the fire, the heat would bring the maggots wriggling out in panic all over it. And occasionally the shock of hitting the ground would do something to the joints of a corpse, so that it reminded me of Pinocchio in the children's tale, with all the pins removed from his wooden limbs. If even Pinocchio, poor plaything of wood and metal pins, was supposed to have felt pain in his own wooden way when he barked his shin against something, what of these the dead, who had once been human beings? These stiffs are getting out of hand, muttered a soldier at the front end of a piece of corrugated iron. If only we had been born in a country, not a damn fool's state, said his companion wistfully. That exchange was the only human sound I heard there. The body on the improvised stretcher lay in a tight huddle, a Pinocchio with every single pin removed. All unconsciously, I had started murmuring the Sermon on Mortality to myself. Hiroshima was no more. Yet who could have foreseen that its end would be of such a horror as this?
Stephen, thank you again for introducing Black Rain to our Books Along community.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.